Welcome to Wound Care Conversations, a podcast from Coloplast Professional. Wound healing can be complex, and here at Coloplast, we want to make life easier and simplify wound healing. Through this podcast series, you'll hear from our expert tissue viability nurses as they bring to life their extensive wound care knowledge and experience. Utilising the Coloplast three-step approach of assess, prepare, and treat, you'll hear from fellow healthcare professionals and experts across a variety of roles within healthcare as we discuss all things wound care from etiologies to service improvement.
Hello and welcome back to Wound Care Conversations. My name's Charlie Pick and I'm here with my colleague Sam Wharton. Today we're going to talk to you about a massive topic, which is supported self-management. So this is a really hot topic at the moment in the NHS and in the world of healthcare professionals. So I think we need to start off, Sam, with why you think we need to move towards self-management.
So when we look at the NHS, we obviously can see the strain that it's under, and we need to do something transformational. We need to change the way we're working. And I think this is where that engagement with supported self-management can really help release capacity, can empower patients with their own health, and we need to be more proactive with doing it. And I think there's obviously quite a lot of clinician fear around it, and hopefully we'll pick through some of that today.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's something that we do in different aspects of healthcare, isn't it? So stoma care, we have patients that are self-managing. In diabetes, we have patients that are managing their insulin, their blood sugar levels themselves. So why is it with wound care, you know, there's a bit of a stigma around getting patients to self-manage with their wounds? I know when I worked out in the community and we sort of introduced this idea of supported self-management, the nurses were just terrified of leaving a patient to manage their own wound. And I think it's really important that you have to make sure that you've got everything in place for that patient. If you're going to talk to them about self-management, you need to do that thorough holistic assessment of your patient and a capacity assessment to make sure, you know, they're able to do that. But you also need to make sure they understand the information that you're giving them, what they need to look out for. Is there anything else that you think that it causes this fear for healthcare professionals when trying to encourage their patients to self-manage?
So when I think back to my time as a clinician seeing patients with wounds, I think straight away back to being in clinic and the patient would walk in and they literally, if they could, they would have unscrewed their leg or their arm or wherever that wound was and give it to me. They felt that they had no ownership of it, most probably through the care they'd received previously to come into the clinic. And it was very much, this is your wound, I'm giving it to you, you heal it, and then I shall leave. And it's changing that perception right from that beginning. You know, this is your wound, I can support you, mm-hmm. and I can advise you for things that are going to benefit and heal this wound quicker. But at the end of the day, we have to work in partnership. It's not you just handing me your issue, your problem, your monkey. It's actually, we're going to work together to do this together. And like you're saying, with when we look at our patients with stomas, when they come in to have that stoma, from that first moment, it's their wound, it's their stoma to manage. And we have those conversations very much of, we will observe mm-hmm. and we will support if we need to, but this is yours, this is your lifelong condition mm-hmm. and you need to be able to manage it. Same with diabetes. We have courses that people can attend. We're giving them that ownership and we're not saying, okay, you've got diabetes, let me give you all your insulin, because that's not empowering patients. That's not giving them that holistic care. People don't want to be coming to clinics 3-4 times a week to have their wounds dressed, but it's just been a habitual practice. And as clinicians, we've not pushed that. We've often just sort of taken that role or taken that wound. And now we're in a position where we haven't got that time. We haven't got that workforce. Our workload is unmanageable. So this isn't a, it would be nice if we can. It's a, we need to do this now. And actually, patients or persons that come into the health service, it's not just a given that everything's done for them. Mm-hmm. They have to take some ownership.
And I think maybe part of that is to start looking at people as a person, not as a patient, because a person is somebody whole. A patient has something wrong with them. And we, like you say, really need to empower people to manage their own conditions, manage their own wounds, and to go into this as a partnership almost. So self-management and supported self-management isn't about just handing over the reins and saying, off you go and do it. There will be that support element from the healthcare professional, but it's about tying into that contract that you're both going to do things to try and help with that wound healing process. And we managed it in COVID.
Yeah,
didn't
we? Absolutely. So obviously COVID came about and lots of patients that were cared for in the community. So lots of where I worked, it was an integrated trust. So we covered community and acute. And people that were seeing normally district nursing or community nurses didn't want them coming into their houses. So what happened? They did supported self-management, and family would support, partners, husbands would support, children would support, or the patient would actually realise, oh, I can do aspects of this. Maybe couldn't do the whole wound dressing, but they could really competently manage aspects of their own wound care. We were actually supported with care plans, ensuring that the patients had capacity, and we had lots of documentation to support the whole supported self-management. It was really embraced by quite a lot of the community teams, and lots of the patients really managed well. And then over time, obviously, we got the vaccine and everyone was becoming vaccinated. And then some of that fear of seeing healthcare professionals started to dissipate. And then actually what happened, we reverted back to our old practices. If we truly look back at what we did in COVID times and where we are now, it's reverted very much back to pre-COVID times.
Mm-hmm. Which is a shame, isn't it? Because we started to embed all that brilliant work. We started to empower patients. They became more involved with their care. And it doesn't necessarily have to be just be that patient or that person, as we talked about earlier. It can be a family member. It can be a neighbour. Or it could be a carer that comes in to help that person. It doesn't have to be the person themselves that is doing that self-management. And I think sometimes we forget about, you know, that greater support network that people have around them. One of my previous roles was as a practice nurse, and as a practice nurse, you know, you have to really encourage supported self-management, because, you know, the demographic of patient is getting much younger and people work. They can't afford to keep taking time off work to come to practice nurse appointments, GP appointments, clinic appointments. They can't afford to lose that wage. So we had to teach people to look after their own wounds. We had patients or people that were having daily dressings and they couldn't continue to keep coming to the surgery on a daily basis. So we taught family members how to do that dressing. And these people went on to heal. So it's absolutely, we can do it. We've just got to get over that hurdle, that fear hurdle. And I think it comes from that fear of not doing anything. And that's not what supported self-management is all about. It's not about not doing anything. It's about supporting someone to be empowered to look after their own healthcare need.
I also think when we talk about patients or people that are working and they're having to attend clinics, there's not also the financial burden of work, but also it's going to the clinics, it's having that dressing done. And actually, if we can simplify our dressings and our wound care without making it so complicated, you're making it a lot easier for that patient to adopt and to manage it themselves. So obviously we've got within Coloplast the assess, prepare, treat, and this very much sits within that supported self-management. So, you know, it's ensuring that you're assessing that patient. Have they got the capacity? Are they willing and able to manage either some aspect of their wound care or all aspects of their wound care. Then you're looking at the prepare. So you need to educate them. You need to make sure that they're fully informed of the what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if there's signs of infection? So that they're signposted to where they need to go. And then you think about that treat. And by using simplified dressing choices, you know, you would support the patient to manage that by not making that wound dressing too complicated. So again, you know, it really fits in with that assess, prepare, treat.
The other thing that we need to remember is supported self-management doesn't mean that that person has got to do everything themselves. It could be that they are just able to remove their dressing before the community nurse, practice nurse, whoever comes to visit to change that dressing, because that's all they're able to do. Or it could be that they're able to remove their dressing, have a shower, wash and clean their legs before somebody then comes to put on their hosiery if they've got leg ulcers, etc., etc. So it's not always about giving up that whole process. It could be just elements of it. And that could be more than enough for the patient or the person, but can also help that healthcare professional free up a little bit of time. You know, if you've got patients that have got bilateral leg ulcers that need a full leg wash of both legs, that can be quite a timely thing to do. But if the person is able to do that themselves, that reduces that time that you need to be with that patient, freeing up time to spend it with somebody else.
Yeah, we had quite a lot of patients that would have showers before we came to do the dressings. I would always ask them to leave the dressings though, so I could observe what was going off. But yeah, it's not you have everything taken away from you or you do it all yourself. It's aspects, and it's having those conversations. And it's like I say, right from the beginning, when you first meet that person, is having that conversation. What do they want to get back to doing? What impact has this wound had on their life? How can we make this better? And how can we work in partnership to improve this for you and empower you to be able to manage it? And it could be that it's going to be a wound that's going to be there for a long time. So we need to reduce the impact it's going to have on your quality of life. Mm-hmm. And if we can support you in doing that dressing, then, you know, it's only for the benefit of the patient and providing that holistic care. But there is always this, as a nurse, I think we always want to help. You go into the nursing profession, it's like a vocation, isn't it? As often talked about, and you're there because you want to help. And sometimes you have to really put that mirror up to yourself and say, am I actually the person that's stopping this person mm-hmm. being able to go on to a supported self-management regime? Because actually I'm risk averse and I'd much rather do it myself. No one can do it as good as me. Well, actually, no. We're not always the right person, and we have to, you know, like I say, hold that mirror up to ourselves. And is it as clinicians that we don't want to release some of that ownership?
And it comes down to choice, doesn't it? So you hear a lot around patients making unwise decisions, but actually, are they making an unwise decision or are they making their own choice? Because I think sometimes we forget that people have a choice. You know, they have a choice whether they want to put bandages on their legs. They have a choice whether they decide to wash their legs once a week, twice a week, three times a week. It all comes back down to that person's choice and the ability to make decisions about their own body in relation to their healthcare needs.
You're listening to Wound Care Conversations from Coloplast Professional. You can explore more of the educational material Coloplast Professional offers specialist nurses and healthcare professionals on our website, coloplastprofessional.co.uk.
So the National Wound Care Strategy Programme obviously has lots of pathways of care. So we've got leg ulcers, foot ulcers, pressure ulcers, surgical wounds, etc. But does it mention anything about supported self-management within these pathways?
Recently, I don't know if you've seen the leg bundle recommendations from the National Wound Care Strategy Programme. And in there are quite a few pointers. So that it says, you know, supported self-management should be encouraged for those people willing and able to undertake some aspects of their leg care. It also talks about how that model will offer the opportunity to undertake wider health promotion. So again, it's just encouraging patients to have ownership of their own conditions. It's about providing that personalised care. So like you're saying, patients have choices, and it's ensuring that we're capturing their choices within their own care and treatment plans. And it should be provided in line with the individual's capacity, capability and wishes. So, you know, it's always that patient is at the centre of everything that we do, and their treatment plans, care plans should all be in partnership with our patients. But when you actually get to the nitty gritty of documentation, how to document it, care plans, treatment plans, I think we're still not there in terms of having the paperwork and documentation to back up supported self-management. I think many trusts are now really looking at it, and as industry, we're looking to develop and utilise and support trusts to develop their own resources, as well as we can support with our own ones that we've developed. But there isn't a sort of standardised programme or package that trusts can follow. And as we know, we're trying to standardise the care provision. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously what the National Wound Care Strategy Programme are doing. But at the moment, the actual tools and resources aren't there.
So you mentioned personalised care a little bit there, Sam. So just for the listeners, can we just explain what personalised care is? Does it mean that we try and fit every patient into a particular pathway, or do we make a pathway fit around the person?
For me, when I think about personalised care, it's taking it right back to that first time or first meeting I have with that patient or person. And it's identifying what their wants, what their wishes are, how, so obviously as a tissue viability nurse, it was often how the wounds impacting their life, their quality of life, and getting a feeling of what their own goals were. And then utilising the tools and the pathways that you have, it's having that discussion and an open, honest discussion about how their wants and wishes can be brought into that treatment plan. It's about personalising it to them, because what our own goal might be is to heal in 3 weeks. Actually, for that patient, that's not achievable because they can't do X, Y, and Z, mm-hmm. or they don't want to do X, Y, and Z. But okay, what can we do and compromise to ensure that everyone's goals are being met and personalising it to that patient?
So I suppose, you know, something we haven't talked about so far is documentation and how important the documentation is when you are, you know, starting out on that journey of supported self-management with a patient or with a person, and how important that documentation is to safeguard not only the patient, but also yourself and the organisation.
Yeah, so like I said before, as clinicians, we're very risk adverse, understandably. You know, we've all heard of the possibilities and the possible consequences if our documentation can't be upheld. And, you know, we've got coroner's courts that are happening, and you're brought into tribunals and all sorts of consequences you can have. So it's really important that you do get your documentation right, and it's making sure you're recording the right pieces of information. So making sure that your documentation can show how a patient has understood the needs and wants, mm-hmm. or understood what you're asking of them to do. Mm-hmm. So often we get patients to relay that same information to us. It's the same as when you're giving any sort of information, you say, right, what have you understood? Can you tell me what I've just said to you? And it's just confirming that they've got that understanding, that they know, and then documenting that conversation, including all the what happens if your wound presents with signs of infection. What are the signs of infection? Can you tell me what the signs of infection are? Can they relay that information to you? Do they have the numbers and the contacts that they need to be able to escalate or contact if they need that additional support? Making sure it's all documented and you've given it to them in a way that patient will understand. It may not be that everything has to be written. It could be pictures. It could be different forms of communication to, again, personalise it to that patient and what's going to resonate and what they're going to understand.
And I suppose a helpful tool throughout this process to utilize would be motivational interviewing and really changing those conversations. So talk to me, tell me, rather than, you know, a patient coming in and you saying, right, what's the problem? Finding out more about them, what their, as you've said before, what their goals are and what they can do and we can do to support that to get them to achieve that goal. You know, it's really important, as you say, that, you know, as soon as you start meeting that patient, you change the conversation that you're having. And it's around, you know, we're here to support you to manage your wound. We're not here to do it for you. You know, that's really important process to start, even at the triage process. So lots of community teams now have triage people that will go through the referrals that come in and see, you know, which needs to be seen first. And actually they need to start having these conversations right from that offset. And motivational interviewing is a handy skill to learn and will really help with these supported self-management conversations that people can have with their patients or the people that they are supporting.
Yeah, we just need to really embrace a culture of pro-health, of actually it's your health. And I think previously it's been, okay, we hand our health to the health professionals and we need to change, like you say, those conversations and really empower patients to have that ownership of their wounds.
So just to summarise what we've talked about today, Sam, you know, there is a real need to transform and move towards self-management. We need to be able to empower our patients to manage their own conditions, but ultimately, you know, that will result in releasing capacity and that transformational change within the NHS. So we've discussed about motivational interviewing and how that can help with the conversations that you have. We've talked a little bit about shared decision making and how important it is to make sure your patients, people understand what it is that they need to do and the what ifs and buts and what they need to do if there are what ifs and buts. We've talked about the importance of documenting those conversations and really robust documentation to, you know, safeguard the patient and yourself and the organisation. And we've talked about personalised care and patient choice and whether it's that patients are making unwise decisions or whether they actually are choosing what they want for their body and their health condition. So I think we've given a, you know, a good brief overview of supported self-management today. And I'm sure on another podcast, we'll be able to go a bit more in depth into this. Thanks for joining us today and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Wound Care Conversations. To see more of the wide variety of content we have to offer, please visit coloplastprofessional.co.uk. See you next time. Wound Care Conversations is a Vibrant Sound media production for Coloplast Professional.